I'm sure you will have realised that there is a big wedding coming up as Prince Harry weds Meghan Markle. And it's estimated that this wedding is going to cost £500,000 and promises to be a spectacular event. It's Saturday the 19th of May. I'm sure you all have it in your calendar. And there's going to be 1,800 people in attendance on the big day, and millions around the globe watching. And Harry and Meghan and their parents and grandparents have invited 600, and then 1,200 others got an invitation through the post based on their contribution to public life. And it's a very generous invitation, and I just did wonder where the wedding list was going to be, and then I realised that they had to give to charity as the wedding gift. But a friend's mum, who had served in the NHS for over 50 years, to her great surprise got an invitation through the post. So she and her husband are heading off to London for this great day and have to bring a packed lunch with them. Honestly, they do. I couldn't believe it. But whenever you get any sort of invitation at all, usually you're asking for, or you're looking for three things. Who's the invitation from? Who's the invitation for? And what's the invitation to? And we come to this liberating invitation this evening, not from the Queen, but from Jesus Christ himself this evening. And we're going to see that it's an invitation to all of us. We're going to see it's an invitation for rest from the slavery of our bad masters. And potentially, and I believe, it's an invitation that we've been waiting for a long time. So firstly, let's see, who is the invitation from in verse 27? Well, we're sort of just jumping into the Gospel of Matthew here, but if you have a red letter Bible, a Bible that highlights the words of Jesus in red, you'll see that Jesus is doing a lot of talking on these pages of scriptures. Jesus is talking, but who is this Jesus who is talking? Well, we could do a whole series on who this Jesus is. But in verse 27, he tells us about this unique relationship he has with his Father. And he tells us three remarkable things. Firstly, he says, all things have been committed to me by the Father. This is all things, just like in Matthew 28, where he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. There is complete union in the Father and the Son. I believe this is all knowledge has been given to the Son by the Father. Secondly, it goes on to say that no one knows the Son except the Father. You're thinking, what on earth is this verse mean? I know Jesus, I know he lived 2,000 years ago. I know Mary was his mother. He was a carpenter. I know he'd done some teaching, he'd done some other things. But what this verse is saying is really, no one knows the Son, that is Jesus, fully, except the Father. Some of you will have seen George running around earlier, and some of you know quite a lot about George and who he is and how old he is and all these other things. But none of you know George the way I do. I know that whenever he looks at the drummer up here, that he wants to get there. I know whenever I try to pull him up, he doesn't want to be there. I know when he sees others come in that he wants to go there. Because of the time that I've had with him, I know him quite intimately. And yet this is magnified hundreds of times, infinitely, whenever we think of God the Father and God the Son. They know each other so well because they are two persons of a Trinitarian God, as a God who is three persons in perfect harmony, love and peace with each other. For all of eternity, they have had this communion together and they know each other intimately. So the Son Jesus is intimately known by the Father. And then thirdly, it goes on to say that no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to refill him. So as we think about God the Father, the one who's creator of all, it's saying that nobody knows him except the Son, and knows the Son reveals to him. And you're thinking, well, what is this actually saying? Well, I believe this is saying that nobody knows God the Father except through Jesus Christ. And you're probably sitting there thinking, well, isn't this quite an arrogant claim in today's culture that only those who know Jesus Christ can know God the Father? Well, with any claim, isn't it true? It's a question of whether somebody can back up that claim or whether they can't. And we've seen in Jesus' life in the earlier Gospels, and for somebody who's gone on a Christianity Explorer course, we see that Jesus does back up his claims to be the divine Son of God through his authority over sickness, his authority over nature, his authority as a teacher, his authority over death itself, and his authority over sin. And we see that through Mark's Gospel, that Jesus is not just another man, but he is the God-man. He is the divine God-man, full of God's wisdom and power. And that's who this invitation comes from tonight. But you're thinking, well, what about all the other religions in the world? What about Islam? What about Hinduism? What about Buddhism? What about self-effort? What about all the other weird and wonderful religions and philosophies that friends around the world follow? Well, I believe all of these religions can be bundled under the heading of what we must do to gain favor with God, what we must do to get right with God, whether that's adhering to the five pillars of Islam, whether that's the four steps of Buddhism to enlightenment, whatever it is, or just being a better person. It's all self-effort, trying to reach your way up to God. I believe every religion in the world can be bundled into that, except for Christianity, that comes over here all on its own and says it's not about what we can do to reach God, but it's about what God has done to reach down to us. And that is the context, I believe, that Jesus is offering this invitation to this evening. Martin Luther said of all other religions, here the bottom falls out of all merit, all powers and abilities of or reason of the free will men dream of, and it all counts nothing before God. Christ must do and must give everything. Here the bottom falls out of all merit, all powers and abilities of reason or the free will men dream of, and it all counts nothing before God. Christ must do and must give everything. And that is who is offering this invitation this evening. But who's he offering this invitation to? Well, if you look down at the text again, you'll see in verse 28, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You see, this royal wedding invitation came to a select few based on their contribution to society. They had to earn their way there, but this invitation from Jesus is quite different, actually. Firstly, we'll see it's an invitation to all. This is the most inclusive invitation that we can receive. Nobody is left out. Nobody can throw a strop because they haven't been invited to the party. This is an invitation to all. All are welcome. Come one, come all. From whatever social background, from whatever cultural background, from whatever religious background, from whatever educational background, whatever moral background, this is an invitation for you tonight. Secondly, we'll go on to see that not only is it an invitation to all, but it's an invitation to all who are weary and burdened. And I believe this is just a reiteration that this is an invitation to all, because I believe as I look at society, as I look at friends, as I look at family, as I look at myself, is that we become weary and burdened in this life. But you're saying, well, what sort of burdens are Jesus talking about here? Well, the word weary is really to work to the point of sweat and exhaustion, to work until you are absolutely fatigued, totally out of petrol. The tank is empty. We're running on fumes. And the word burden is a Somebody has just dumped a load on your back and you're carrying it around with you everywhere you go. So if you combine these two things, worry and burden, you have these extra burdens that you're carrying around and yet you're running on empty. Those two things combined to lead to disaster. Worn out, burnt out. You're thinking, well, what could cause this? Well, could be the burden of our if onlys, as we've seen in the videos, and the cycle of thinking that if we have certain things, then that will make us complete. But I think some of us, maybe all of us, realize that the problem is once we get these things, we discover that the feeling doesn't last, and so the cycle begins all over again, and this is wearisome and burdensome. Or could be the burden of trying to make ourselves good enough before God or before other people. Keeping all the rules, religion without the relationship, trying to keep up appearances, trying to seem to hold it all together. All of these religions in this big pile over here are wearisome and burdensome because we have to keep on trying, yet we never know if we've done enough to please God. Weary and burdened. It could be burden from our slavery to sin tonight, where we just can't kick the habit. The thing that we keep on falling into just would not let us out of its grip. We keep on doing it, even if we do not want to do it, like we've seen in the video. It could be gossip, could be anger, could be lust, could be greed. It could be any number of things. John 8:34 says, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Sin is wearisome and burdensome. So this is really an invitation to all of us this evening. And it's an invitation that we also should be extending to our friends and families, to our neighbors, to our colleagues and work, and to the wider world who follow some of these world religions that know nothing of Christ. This is an invitation from Jesus. This is an invitation to us tonight. But what's it an invitation for? Well, verses 29 to 30 say, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Through our wedding, and by promises it to be the wedding of the year, a spectacular event. I'm sure everything at it will be amazing, even your very own packed lunch that you have to bring in a little plastic Tesco. I just can't grasp what that's going to be like. But here I believe this invitation from Jesus is going to be infinitely greater than the invitation to a royal wedding in London. Somebody in our house would love to have got that invitation to the wedding. I'm glad we didn't. But here we see an invitation for rest for your soul. An invitation to be able to lay your burdens down and to know acceptance, to know significance, and so to know meaning for your life in Christ. This is an invitation to be known by Christ and to know Christ. This is an invitation to know the forgiveness of our sins. We usually seek rest by going somewhere. We usually seek to get rest by going for a coffee, by going on a holiday, by going out with friends, by changing our friendship circle, by changing our job, by changing our direction in life. We try all sorts of things to go and to find rest. But the thing is, with all of those things, we take ourselves with us. We take our worried and burdened lives with us. And Jesus here calls us to come. Come to him with your worries and with your burdens. It's an invitation to come to Jesus. It isn't an invitation to try harder. It isn't an invitation to obey more rules. This is an invitation to come to Jesus. And the risen Lord is here. Would have been weary and worn out with the religion that the Pharisees were trying to heap on them. All of the other rules to the Old Testament law that they added on would have just been so wearisome and burdensome. It's an invitation to come to Jesus, the bread of life, the true vine, the fount of living water. I wonder this evening, have we come ourselves? Do we know this Jesus? Do we continue to come? Notice the language used in verse 29 here. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Here is an invitation to have a new master, to have a new way of living, to have a new purpose, to have a new hope, and to have a new future. This word, yoke, is an unusual word, but it used to be used for to put over the head of donkeys to pull a plow. And each, as it was put on, the donkey would have been ordered around by the master to do certain jobs in the field. As a carpenter, Jesus probably would have made a lot of these yokes that were custom built for each donkey so that it wouldn't cause the animal harm from being a bad fit. So here we see Jesus' invitation to come and to follow him. Take his yoke upon us and to learn from him. This isn't just an invitation to come and to say a prayer and then carry on living your life the way that you have, to prick the prayer, to get baptized, to join a church, and for everything else to remain the same as it always has. This is an invitation to come and to learn and to keep on learning. Maybe you're saying, well, I'm a pretty independent person, don't like anybody telling me what to do, and I don't want to be anybody's slave. I find perfect freedom outside of Christ. Well, if we've seen in the video, and hopefully as we've seen from our past lives, we do not find freedom outside of Christ because these things enslave us. But let's see what sort of a master, Lord, and Savior Jesus is here in verses 29 and 30. It says that he teaches us. This is somebody who's not going to leave us on our own to figure things out, but he's going to walk with us. He's going to teach us. He's going to disciple us. He is gentle. He isn't rough and oppressive. He's not domineering. He is gentle. He is humble in heart. He is not lording it over others. This is a good master. He offers us rest. He offers us peace from God's wrath and from God's judgment. He offers us peace with God, and he offers us the peace of God. His yoke is easy. He offers us a custom-built fit for each of us. It's made for you. He doesn't ask you to be somebody else. He asks you to be yourself and for him to lead you and guide you. And it says also his burden is light. He doesn't pile on heavy burdens on us that we cannot bear. His burden is light. I believe this sounds so much better than the other masters that we end up serving, or the idols in our lives that constantly eat away at us and that leave us drained, tired, weary, and burdened. Maybe you feel this evening, well, Keith, that just seems too good to be true. I've tried that, but it just hasn't worked for me. I believe tonight it is possible, and that you can know this rest from Jesus. Why? Because Jesus came to give us life as a ransom for many. As we all know, the ransom is a price, something that somebody pays to set somebody free from slavery or captivity. And Jesus went to the cross, died in our place. He set us free from our slavery to sin and for us to be able to live for him. On the cross, he paid the price for us. And because of the cross work of Christ, I believe we can find rest for our souls this evening. So as we conclude and go to the table, as good as it would have been to get an invitation from the Queen to the wedding, surely tonight we recognize this invitation is much, much greater. Maybe you've heard it for the first time this evening. Will you accept it? Jesus says, come. Will you go to him? Maybe you've heard it over and over and over and you've grown up, but you've never experienced this rest for yourself this evening. You've just gone along with it because that's what your parents do and your grandparents do. This rest is for you tonight. Maybe tonight you've got two masters and you're trying to serve both of them, and it's just tired and you're weary of doing that. And the Bible is true that we cannot serve two masters. On a Sunday, you try to serve God, and then the rest of the week you're into serving other gods in your life. Can I urge you tonight to commit your life fully to Him 24/7? Maybe as well, we have friends that we just know are weary and tired. And we see the comedy and the failures, yet we know the devastating reality of idolatry in friends' lives. Maybe we need to offer them this invitation to come to Jesus in the week ahead. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this invitation for Jesus to come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. As we come to the table, Father, we thank you for the cross work of Christ. We thank you that we can find rest because of the price that Jesus paid for each of us. As we consider our role in your kingdom in these days, Father, would you help us to be thinking of who we can share this offer of rest with as we consider our friends, our families, our neighbors, and those in this town of Bangor. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.